WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Special Report, tears and prayers for a conservative activist, 31-year-old father of two, Charlie Kirk, who was shot to death on a college campus in Utah.
Kind of numb because he was only 31 and had so much life ahead of him.
Really just didn't even believe it. Just stopped what I was doing and began to pray.
Kirk, a close ally of President Trump's, was killed in front of a crowd of thousands of students. The manhunt for a suspect ongoing. CBS's Carter Evans.
Law enforcement sources told CBS News there was just one shot and that it appeared to have been fired from the roof of the nearby Losey Center. That's where video posted on social media showed a person in dark clothing running right after the shooting.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who survived a politically motivated attack, remembered Kirk on CBS Mornings.
Even if people disagreed with him, he wasn't calling them names. He would engage and talk about the differences, and we've got to get back to that.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. People around here know who he is, but now he's trying to appeal to a statewide audience. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley appeared yesterday on the Todd Alba Show, which airs statewide on the Civic Media Network. As he runs for governor, Crawley talks about his experiences outside the big city.
I've been introduced to rural areas as a kid. My father taking me to La Crosse and taking me all over the state, whether we're going fishing or going duck hunting. And so I have familiarity with rural communities.
While he's been running Milwaukee County recently, Crawley reminded people that he's got Madison experience and praised the current governor.
No, Governor Evers, he has been a great leader. He has led with a steady, calm strength here in the state of Wisconsin, leading us through the pandemic, helping to protect our democracy and protect, quite frankly, our working families from a lot of harm. You know, I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know how Madison works. And I've also gotten things done with a Republican-controlled legislature.
Yesterday, Crawley got the endorsement of someone some thought he would have to run against, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. So far, Crawley, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, and businessman Bill Berrien have all announced runs for Wisconsin governor next year. The push that started in Racine is moving a little further on down the line. The Milwaukee Public Works Committee voted unanimously to endorse joining a new rail commission. The full Milwaukee Common Council could approve the move in 2 weeks. If approved, Milwaukee would join Racine and Kenosha in what's called the MARC Passenger Rail Commission. The goal is to revive the long-discussed commuter rail between the three cities. Supporters say the commission opens the door for federal funds and planning. Mayors in all three cities are backing the move. The tracks used would be closer to population centers in all three cities and could connect to the Kenosha Metro stop, which has trains going to Chicago. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers head for home.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball.
The Brewers returning from their road trip to begin a three-game series tomorrow night against the Cardinals at American Family Field. The crew losing again 6-3. The Rangers' Jake Berger hit two home runs. Pat Murphy.
They got every big hit. You know, Berger was in AAA earlier in the season, and he hits two big homers. You know, we get 11 hits. We don't get the timely two-out hit.
NFL, the Packers host the Washington Commanders tonight, led by Dan Quinn, who was once the head coach of the Falcons, where Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach. LaFleur on his time there in Atlanta under Quinn.
It was invaluable to me. Like, I'm pretty certain I wouldn't be standing right here right now if it weren't for being with DQ for those 2 years in Atlanta, and just changed my whole mindset and how much fun you can have within the building yet still get down to business. It was a great environment.
That's Matt LaFleur. I'll have a full recap later tonight after the game from Lambeau Field with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine expected today with high temps in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s. More the same on Friday. A little bit warmer, though. Mostly sunny skies. A high near 75 degrees. It's 58 at our studios.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule. Plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're recombobulating the news on Thursday. That's right. Dan Schaefer is here, and we're going to be talking about everything coming out of Wisconsin politics, including a huge announcement in the governor's race. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06, and nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, September 11th, 2025. We'll be talking later this hour with Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale in Milwaukee County, all about running for local office. He's the national head of a group called Democratic Municipal Officers, and they work to recruit and train the next generation of candidates who serve as mayors and village presidents and city councils and town boards and things like that. So if that interests you, or maybe you're thinking about recruiting a friend to do that, then give a listen later this hour. And of course, if you can't stick around, then we invite you to listen to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and follow us that way, and you can catch up with shows anytime that you like. It's a very foggy morning out here on Lake Wissota, and we are definitely not the only place. A dense fog advisory will be in effect until 9 o'clock for a big chunk of the western half of Wisconsin. Basically draw a line up from Richland Center through Toma up to Neillsville, Medford, Phillips, Ironwood, Michigan, and Ashland. And all those points west of that line are in a dense fog advisory with low visibility, visibility a quarter mile or less in some places. And so if you're out there driving, go at a slower speed, use your headlights, and leave plenty of distance ahead of you. And the temperatures, of course, are going to be warming up nicely, as Brittany told us before she began her long weekend. And we have local forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. All right, we were talking about video game consoles a little bit earlier, and because it's the anniversary of the Atari 2600 from 1977, and Alicia already told us that she played on a Nintendo, and Tony had Sega, but there was also a Dreamcast as well. And so we are wondering if there were consoles that you remember or consoles that you would recommend if people were going to be, you know, replacing what they have or buying a console for the first time, because frankly, everything has come up a step from the Atari 2600. So we're recruiting and seeking out your recommendations and your memories on video game consoles this morning. On a much more serious note, however, is I know you think I'm going to be talking directly about yesterday's murder of political agitator Charlie Kirk in Utah. And we've spoken about that in the last hour, and about violence not being the answer, and that violence is not politics, even though some people mistake it for that, that there is no good political violence. It encourages other people to either engage in violence or to speak in violent tones, like the congressman from Western Wisconsin. Derek Van Orden has been on a tear overnight since the murder of Charlie Kirk in Utah, and not not in a good way. And I can't read all of his tweets because of the swearing that's in there. But there's a lot of tweets where he says the gloves are off and threatening things like federal funding. In one tweet, let's see, from 9 hours ago or so, he says, "We will be making sure that any institution that celebrates political violence will not receive a single penny of federal funding. Gloves are off." And then there's one where he refers to dirty scumbag reporters who are directly culpable for Charlie Kirk's murders. Somebody asks, "How do you coexist with people that want to murder you?" And Derek Van Orden's response is, "You don't." In other words, in his mind, the de-escalation comes at the point of a gun, apparently. And this is a man with military experience, and I don't doubt all kinds of access to weaponry. There's one where he says he takes shots at Rebecca Cook and Congressman Mark Pocan, saying people like them would have fit perfectly into the Soviet Union. They think they're smarter than everyone and that the government should tell you how to live your life. Okay. Here's a couple more here where he simply says the gloves are off as he reposts others. You've got actor James Woods, who puts a lot of extreme and violent language out there. And he says, "Don't call it gun violence. It's Democrat violence," which Derek Van Orden reposted and said, correct. He refers to disgusting the chaos that broke out on the floor of the House of Representatives. The chaos that broke out when fellow Republican Lauren Boebert of Colorado insisted on a spoken prayer rather than a moment of silence. In other words, she wanted special treatment for Charlie Kirk compared to all of the other moments of silence that were held for victims of all political stripes, most of them innocent victims. But Lauren Boebert wanted something different, and when people disagreed, needless to say, there was a woman from Florida, a Republican, who started shouting F-bombs at the Democrats. Just not one of the more graceful moments on the floor of the U.S. House. Here's another one about Derek Van Orden saying the gloves are off and these horrible vultures claiming to be journalists must be held accountable. Here's one where he says in response to somebody, "F these bags of scum." Let's see. He takes a there's another. The gloves are off. Here's one where Nicole Wallace from MSNBC speaks about how political violence has often been committed by Republicans and people who consume conservative media. And Derek Van Orden puts it up and says, "This is the problem. This garbage is the problem." Here's one where he says of another podcast host, "I would love to have coffee with this piece of," and then uses the S word there. Once again, we get another shot at Mark Pocan, where he says to somebody, "You and your Golden Corral fat F buddy Mark Pocan do not seem to understand how far out of touch you are with everyday Americans. You people are culpable for Charlie Kirk's assassination." Here's another one where he pledges zero tax dollars. Here's one where he says, "I don't think the SOBs," and he spells it all out, of course, "that are celebrating this horrific crime have ever watched the movie The Unforgiven. They called the wind, and they are about to reap the AI-empowered whirlwind. These people want a Nazi fascist country. We're not going to do that." These are all from a congressman. All right. Here's an F this terrorist referring to the show TMZ. When somebody asks, "Why are you surprised?" Derek Van Orden reposted and says, "Because they hate God." Here's one where he says to another journalist, "You are directly culpable for this assassination and the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I am not sure that you understand what you and your horrible people have done. Gloves are off, you effing mayonnaise person." And, more have come up. He's still going. Wow. I refreshed the screen and so many more have come up, calling people scum every chance he gets. More scum, more agreeing with people who called other people scum. And I know I have one or two others. Oh, nope, that one's just scum again. This one, you sowed the wind, you punk. Again, Derek Van Orden essentially threatening violence to other people. Here's more scum. He says of another group saying, this is the left, meaning the political left. This is the left. They are about to get a right, you know, as in a punch. All right, I hear some of you calling for mercy and saying, look, how long are you going to be rereading? Are you just going to read Derek Van Orden's Twitter feed? In this particular case, yes. And, you know, it's something I've wanted to do for a long time, but I knew it wasn't going to necessarily make for great radio, except now in this kind of context. I mean, Derek Van Orden talks like this all the time, usually in drips and drabs, but occasionally these late night rants where he goes off in tens, if not dozens, of tweets, calling people names, sometimes not directly, just reposting other people's things and referring to them as scum or using the F word for them. This is his primary constituency. These are the people he most wants to talk to and the people he most wants to please and the people he most wants to agitate. And you might say, well, he is just reacting very strongly to Charlie Kirk's murder. I believe it has gone further than that. This is no longer a man reacting or reacting angrily to the murder of a political figure that he agrees with. At some point, you are now using this killing for political purposes. You are politicizing what's going on, especially when you're continuing to want to agitate, sow division, and more or less encourage violence with all of the times that he essentially said, you know, that a punchback is coming in some way, shape, or form. Derek Van Orden was nowhere to be found in some of these other mass shootings that have happened and in political violence. He went so far as to do some inappropriate name calling after one particular political violent tragedy. And you all know this. If you listen to this show, we've talked about this. So why am I bringing it up again? Because so many of your neighbors don't. They see the softball coverage on local TV stations or the quick little write-ups in newspapers. And I'm not saying there's never been a hard-hitting story done on Derek Van Orden, but on the scale between fluff stories and journalism that tries to hold Derek Van Orden to account, the scales are not balanced at all. And some of it borders on stenography. Having seen what a member of Congress from Wisconsin has put out in less than 24 hours since an act of political violence in this country, I am again asking, challenging Wisconsin media to, first off, whenever he does pop up again, because he's not doing town hall, so whenever he does make another spontaneous appearance, if you're able to be there, I really hope your first question isn't about whatever it is he wants to talk about, but whether he thinks this is behavior befitting a member of Congress. Or don't wait for him to show up unexpectedly in your community and call the office right now. And frankly, a lot of his constituents could call the office right now or at some point during the day. I'd urge you to look up his Twitter feed just so that you know, you have it in front of you. And that way they're not saying, well, you're just going off things that you heard. No, take a look at it. And then maybe call his office. And remember, the people who work in these offices, they are not the members of Congress. You do not need to unload on them. But you can make your point of view known and say, I would just like to know if the congressman thinks that this is the kind of behavior that he thinks is appropriate in the wake of an act of political violence. He knows better. He knows it's not, but he can't help himself. And those of you who are already fighting about this in the comment sections today, watching this program, you may as well take a step back You know where we stand on this, and you can only throw sand for so long before we start hitting hide and delete buttons, like I wish somebody would have done a long time ago to Derek Van Orden. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. As we see the President of the United States of America send federal troops into Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, possibly Chicago, the question now remains, will he send them to Milwaukee? When will he send them to Milwaukee? And as citizens, what rights do we have during what seems to be an illegal occupation? Our very own Earl Ingram has a brand new podcast called What's Going On, where he poses such questions, talks to community leaders around the area, and today I'm playing for you a selection of an interview he did with Robert Miranda. He's an organizer for Freshwater for Life Action Coalition, and he's also a campaigner for a lead-free Milwaukee. We've already heard a little bit of Robert's story earlier in the week, and today we're going to listen to them discuss how living in Milwaukee is nothing like they described it on the news, and why sending the National Guard here is not about security and more about instilling fear in his...
I saw, as a young boy in 1968, I was 14 years old, and in the city of Milwaukee, after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, I remember the tanks and the National Guard in my community, in my neighborhood, as they were all over this nation, because cities burned after the assassination of Martin Luther King. There were, I don't know, 300 or so cities that were set ablaze. So understandable why the National Guard was brought in, but I do remember distinctly the National Guard being, and that was the time, again, when over 300 some odd cities burned.
Right.
The National Guard being in cities right now in these areas, I don't know if cities being burned, right? And yes, are there, you know, are there problems? Is there unrest taking place in these communities? Are things unsafe in some areas? Yes, I live in Milwaukee. I'm not terrified. I've lived there for over 71 years. I'm not so terrified that I'm going to leave the city that I was born in, the city that I love, because somebody says it's too dangerous for me. I'd also say, Robert, before I give you a chance to respond, for those people and Donald Trump and others who celebrate and say this is the answer, if you begin to think just a little bit, Robert, about the cost of having the National Guard in your city, and how long are they going to remain in cities, Robert? If you say, because we've got the National Guard, crime is going to go down, which is what is being said right now, what are they thinking that, okay, we're going to stay here forever, or we're going to leave in 2 months because of the sheer $1 million, you know, cost a day of having the National Guard in these different cities, that once they leave, things aren't going to revert back to the... There's no long-term thinking this through, Robert.
No, it's all theatrics. It's all... Our military right now is being used as pawns to shore up the hatred that he wants to fester. He wants to defester that division. He wants to continue to promote the idea that the only way to deal with these people, and that meaning people of color in this country, is by force. That's the only way to deal with them. This is the way they've dealt with us in the past, enforcing Jim Crow laws, enforcing the kind of sundown laws that used to be enforced, you know, using the police to harass and intimidate. Now, taking that same playbook and applying it in today's world, using the military to come after these communities. But notice he's only doing it in communities that are blue state communities, right, or Democrat community. He's not going after red states or red states.
Where there's equal amount of crime.
Exactly. Because he doesn't want to show the contradiction of what is going on. He doesn't want to embarrass Speaker Johnson and Freeport,
in
Louisiana.
New Orleans, where you want to talk about,
you want to talk about crime being out of control, look at his district.
Right.
You know, he doesn't want to establish that contradiction. What he wants to do is just focus on one thing, so that base of hate that he empowers, that he promotes, that he elevates, can see that this is the only way to do this. So as his grand plan to eventually destroy democracy in this country, to take over the government and to become the dictator that he wants to be, gives him the luxury of being able to then use the military in all parts of the country and employ them wherever there is dissension against him, not against crime, but dissension eventually against him.
If you would like to listen to that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Search for What's Going On. That's Earl's new podcast. And find the episode called Talking with Robert Miranda. There you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. As a small aside, if you've been watching the news for the past 12 hours, you know exactly what happened in Utah yesterday. There's a lot of conversations, a lot of questions, and we hope you're finding an outlet for all of those thoughts that you're having. For myself, in the next hour, you'll be hearing a conversation I had with Dr. Kristen Lyerly about the topic, about the shooting in Utah, and even though it's a very, very belabored point, the importance of coming together as we achieve more together. That'll be at 8:22, so stick around. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. Be well. It's 7:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You've probably felt it yourself, overdoing it a little bit with beautiful weather. Well, guess what? As the harvest season approaches, farmers need to listen to their bodies as well. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday, and a couple tips on what to pay attention to. That's just around the corner.
Farmers and ranchers across the country trust Can-Am because of how they build, support, and stand behind their machines. Now they're backing that trust with even more. Get 24 months of coverage when you purchase select Defender and Outlander models through the Can-Am Agricultural and Business Program. That's how confident they are in the durability of their units. That's not all. You also get a rebate up to $3,500. Give your fleet the upgrade it deserves. Visit the Can-Am website to learn more about the program. Offer ends October 31st. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Dr. Jay Makovic is part owner of Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center. He grew up on his family's farm in Muscadet and understands firsthand the hard work and dedication that farmers pour into their livelihoods. But as the harvest approaches, he also reminds farmers, listen to your bodies.
I think we're seeing more injuries, low back strain, low back irritation, nerve irritation, disc injuries, and also a lot of soft tissue injuries from that static position when they're in these pieces of equipment and machinery. And we're seeing that they're doing this for such long periods of time that their ability to recover and for that spine to be really be resilient, it diminishes. We have to really be able to communicate that first and foremost to the patient that I understand, again, being a farmer, that's going to happen. We have to better educate and empower the patient to that it's not the end of the world.
Mostly, Dr. Jay Makovic from Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center says he wants farmers to acknowledge when their bodies need a rest, need a break, maybe even need a visit to a doctor. And remember, movement is medicine, motion is lotion.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
And if you're looking to reward yourself at the end of that hard working day, the Wisconsin Beef Council, in partnership with Gather Wisconsin's, got a new tool that might help: the Prime Rib Trail. It's a statewide guide to supper clubs and restaurants serving prime rib. Right now, they've got 16 locations all across the state that dot the map, but they're looking for your input and more. It's available now at beeftips.com. That's literally a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine expected today with high temps in the lower 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. It'll be a mild night with lows in the upper 50s. More the same on Friday, a little bit warmer though, mostly sunny skies, a high near 75 degrees. Right now, it's 57.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce, or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald. 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, we make the popcorn pick of the week where we give you a movie suggestion. Then Al Petrelli, guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, joins to talk about upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we sure appreciate this partnership that we get to do every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. But you can follow my team over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there, including the weekday edition and the Sunday morning politics edition that I put together. Again, we'd love to have you as a subscriber, upnorthnewswi.com. A dense fog advisory is out until at least 9 o'clock for much of the western half of Wisconsin. So take it easy out there on the roads. And again, forecast updates throughout the day on your local Civic Media radio network station. I really like doing segments like the one we're about to start here with Brian Kennedy, because first as a reporter and then an elected official at the state level, and now in my capacity here, I could not possibly express enough admiration for the people who run for local office. I got my start covering county boards in Eau Claire County and Chippewa County, the Chippewa City Council. And then I've been to more county board, town board, village board meetings than I could possibly count over the years, either covering them as a reporter or speaking as an elected official. It is thankless work, and yet people continue to do it because of a certain level of satisfaction and service they give to their communities. So having said all that, perhaps you might be interested in running for local office and want to know where to begin. I got a guy for that from suburban Milwaukee. Let's head down to Glendale and talk to Mayor Brian Kennedy, who's also president of the group Democratic Municipal Officials. NationalDMO.org is the website. I'll put that up on screen on social media in just a bit here. Mayor Brian Kennedy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
That's good. Good to see you. It's been a while. Yeah. It's great to talk to you, and especially about this particular subject. I mean, I of course have now expressed my admiration for local officials. You're one of them, but I'm sure you would agree with the concept of people serving in their hometowns and what it is that you appreciate about them.
Yeah, you know, running for local office is basically because you want to serve your community. There's really not, for most of us, this is a part-time gig. You know, we all have day jobs, but we feel like there's a way that we can give back to our community. You know, most people don't understand that when you run for school board or you run for city council or run for mayor, that, you know, you're basically saying, I'm going to give up my nights and weekends to try and serve my community, and I'm really not going to get paid very much for it. You know, when I first ran for this position, Mayor Glendale paid about $5,000. You know, my wife was like, why are you taking a job that pays a dollar an hour? Because that's what it felt like, as much time as I gave back to the community. But, you know, there's a lot of good that we can do, and there's a lot of great opportunities to help shape what your community will become in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years by decisions that are made today.
And I will, from a political standpoint, I'm going to put it this way. We need all kinds of folks who are willing to run for local office, and you do not have to be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat or a dyed-in-the-wool Republican to serve in local office. The vast majority of all of us are correctly described as somewhere in the center-left to center-right part of the spectrum. Yep. But if people in that very large part of the spectrum don't serve, then that creates a vacuum for people on the fringes to get in, and I know, Brian, you've seen the danger on school boards and other places where the only person who runs is somebody who, shall we say, service is not exactly their primary motive.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the reasons why in Wisconsin our local elected offices are all nonpartisan is because there really isn't a Democratic way to pave a road or a Republican way to pick up the garbage. We're talking about providing services to our community that involve, for example, making sure you have clean drinking water, making sure that the parks are well maintained so you have a place to take your kids or your grandkids to play, making sure that our schools have the funding they need so that, you know, the libraries are well stocked, their class sizes are small enough that the teachers can meet the needs of all of, of the students in the classroom. You know, we're not talking about setting, you know, agendas that are necessarily partisan. But the thing I've noticed, and one of the reasons I got involved with Democratic Municipal Officials, or DMO, is that the people, it seems like, whose political philosophies are about serving their community and wanting to give back are more often than not on the left or the center left. You know, we don't necessarily engage in this because we've got some great agenda. We just want to make sure everybody, there's a place for everybody, everybody feels included, and that people's needs are met. And so that's why I think you see so many of, you know, Donald Trump goes after the Democrat cities. But I think you see so many of our municipal offices being held by Democrats across the country. It's because our natural inclination is to create community and to create a space for everyone and to meet people's needs.
Yeah. Another way to put it would be, you know, service driven. And you and I have both met and befriended people who are to our political right, who are amazing people because they have that service component about them. Again, we're not going to agree on everything. We're not supposed to agree on everything. We're supposed to work together, but you only work together if people with differing opinions still at least have service as one of their central values. And if people go, why do you keep doing this? Why do you engage in politics, talk in politics, serve in politics? Brian, it's because I genuinely see those people, and I know you still do today, people you don't always agree with, but there are just so many good people who want to serve their hometowns.
No, absolutely. You know, years ago, I made friends when I was the State American Federation of Teachers president, and I made friends on the other side of the aisle in the legislature. I now serve on the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District Commission with a good friend who was a Republican member of the state assembly. And we, you know, in terms of, you know, developing our policies around, you know, how are we managing stormwater runoff? How are we making sure that we're, you know, we're reclaiming the water before and fully cleaning it before it gets returned to Lake Michigan? You know, we're on the same page. We're about serving. You know, so Jeff Stone, who, you know, I didn't always agree with when he was in the legislature, you know, as a Republican member of the assembly, he and I now serve and sit next to each other at the MMSD meetings, and we're on the same page about serving the community. And you're right, there are people in both parties. But I would say DMO finds itself with a very large audience because I think you just see a lot more of that service component from people who are about building community and not necessarily about pushing through some sort of an agenda.
We are talking to Glenda Mayor Brian Kennedy, talking about Democratic Municipal Officials, the group. Their website is nationaldmo.org. And in looking at the website, Brian, I mean, there's no shortage of trainings out there and seminars and other things for people thinking about going into, you know, politics or public service in some way, shape, or form. And yet you guys, you're giving it away. You're put right there on the website. It says, you know, here is a campaign starter kit, and you click on it and up comes a 5-page Google Doc of things to keep in mind. So, I mean, I can't imagine a better place. I'm not saying it's one-stop shopping, but this sure looks like it should be the first stop for somebody interested in running for office.
Certainly. And so it's funny, Wisconsin Democratic Party has probably the best outreach for local folks that want to run for office. You can get so much help and assistance from our state party that most state parties in the country do not have. And that's where National DMO comes in. And what we offer is essentially for those people in all those states that where their state party just isn't really equipped to offer them the resources to build a local campaign, we offer free resources. Our goal here, we recognize if you're running for school board, you're probably running on a budget of $500 to run a campaign. That's some yard signs and some door hangers, right? And then you and your friends are going to go out and knock doors together. So we've tried to help at DMO to how do we put together the right kind of trainings and the right kind of resources that we can offer to Democrats who want to run for local office. And that's even if you're running for a nonpartisan office like we do here in Wisconsin. You know, I'm still a member of the Democratic Party. And so anybody who is a Democrat who wants to run for local office has access to this training, the training materials that we have. What I would say, this summer, we did something we've never done before. We offered an all-day candidate camp. So we collaborated with the DNC training department. And on a Saturday in July, we had a 7-hour training where we essentially walked through all the different aspects of how do you put together your messaging? How do you build a database of supporters? How do you fundraise? How do you talk to people at the doors? You know, what should your website look like? What kind of things should you focus on? And we went through a whole day of training. We had 545 people from across the country register. We'd never seen anything like that before. And even some of the reddest places like Kentucky and Tennessee, having 545 people, 15% of the people who registered were from two of the reddest states in the country. So we're making significant outreach to teach people how to run for local office and to recognize that it's not that hard. It just seems daunting if you've never been a part of the political space before. And so we've tried to create these very user-friendly, easy materials, trainings that have been recorded, you can watch, and a whole bunch of other resources, including even access to vendors that will charge a congressional or a gubernatorial campaign a whole lot of money, offering free or almost free services if you're running for local office, because they recognize we're building a bench here.
Yeah. And on the website, you can find things like getting your campaign started, creating a logo and building your website and how to get started on fundraising and voter contact and mail and email programs and merchandise and even polling. And again, connecting to other folks, like you said, maybe your state Democratic Party or others. As you look back now, Brian, and I forget how long you've been involved in public service here, but if you could go back and talk to yourself as a very first time candidate, is there one thing that you would tell yourself that you to do differently or to focus on more or to sweat about less?
Yes. Don't look to national messaging when you're running for local office. Talk to your neighbors, talk to the parents of your kids' friends, talk to people at the grocery store, knock some doors, find out what people actually think. You know, one of the things I think we have seen far too often is we have this national messaging machine that tries to tell Democrats what they need to say. And the real answers here, honestly, are found at the local level. Because if I talk to my neighbors in Glendale, it's going to be different than if you're talking to your neighbors in Chippewa Falls, right? We have different local concerns. And so I would say, listen to those people and craft a message for your specific campaign that is very local. And I did want to add one other thing about DMO. DMO isn't just about getting elected. We have two sides to this organization. Once you are a municipal official, we actually have a policy arm that combines with National League of Cities, with National School Board Association, where we hold events and we hold trainings, where we share best practices across the country. So policy language that might be implemented, in a suburb of New York City, I might find in one of these trainings and say, hey, that would be really great for Glendale. And then, somebody who is on a city council in suburban Kansas City might say, hey, I want to take that same language. So we do share best practices across the board. DMO wants to help you get elected. And then once you're elected, wants to help you be effective when you're in office. But the thing is, while we look at those national ideas, you still have to tailor them to your own specific municipality and the messaging that works in your community.
Yeah, you're not running to be, a Donald Trump light or Barack Obama light or anything like that. This is as hometown service as it gets. And that's why there are all these resources that are put forth by Democratic municipal officials at nationaldmo.org. Again, nationaldmo.org. And Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale down there in the Milwaukee area, is the national president of the group and was kind enough to join us today to talk about getting your thoughts together about maybe running for office. Brian, thank you. It's always great to connect with you. Thanks for sharing all these resources. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you having me on your show.
You bet. Anytime. And again, nationaldmo.org is the website address. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, Joe Zepecki about some of the big headlines of the day. Chad Holmes will tell us what he's following from our civic media station in the Wausau area. That's all coming up after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like
real. We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. That music can only mean one thing, and that's Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Award-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, I should say. I want to pay proper respect. She stops by every week to give us the weather and the wine and tell us about what's happening this weekend, coming up with the weather, how we get ourselves prepared, and why summer doesn't seem to be done yet. And right now, I'll tell you what's going on. It's time for some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, writer, friend. Brittany, how are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm great now with that intro. Jeez. Thanks, Greg.
I'm just going to follow you around and say, great, like award-winning. And you'll be at the market and be like, I'm just trying to buy bread.
Be like, shh, call him everything. Oh, it is nice, though. It is nice. How you got the sun out by you right now? Are you the only one hanging on to a little bit of sunshine?
I think so. Yeah, we've been pretty immune to all of the craziness weather-wise down here in southeastern Wisconsin. It's been coolish. We've been in the 70s. It's that 70s cool. It's not hot 70s. It's coolish 70s, right. Where you know it. You don't turn the air on, but you also
don't hesitate to turn the heat on because at night it will change. And that's what I've been seeing down here because I am a not trained meteorologist. I'm a guy who sticks his thumb up in there and goes, the wind's blowing that way. But we've been getting 70s days and then, you know, lower 60s nights or early 50s, upper 50s nights as well. So
yeah.
What are you seeing around the state? What are you seeing around southeastern Wisconsin? What's the forecast going to be looking like over the next few days into next week?
Absolutely. So you've got a little bit of a front moving through. So a few spotty showers as those winds switch to off the lake could happen. So you're going to get a little bit of a lake breeze today. And of course, temperatures probably in the mid 70s for you. So overnight fog moving in. It was thick up north. You could barely see this morning. And we are looking at more and more sun as we go through this week. So the crummy, dreary type of weather that we're dealing with now is going to be gone. And we're going to start to warm up. So if you remember last week, this time we were talking about record cold high temperatures hitting. So just a couple of days ago, and now we're looking at summer weather starting to sneak right back in. I told y'all to hang on. It would be here. And it is. So
I told friends and family, I said, hey, first I said, fall is here. Summer's gone. And then we got warmer weather and they looked at me and said, I apparently wasn't listening to Brittany. And then I said, well, it's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. And then it was upper 50s at night. And they looked at me again. I said, I don't know. I don't win awards. Brittany does. You want the weather? Talk to her. But yeah, it's a very interesting, you know, in certain times, especially in the late summer, in that July, August, it can be very unpredictable, but also very uncomfortable. I feel like where we're at right now with the weather, I can personally operate well because I can take 55 to 72 and not have to worry about opening every window so I can sleep at night.
Right, right. Well, AC units might start to crank up again as we go into this weekend.
Yeah.
We are going to get warmer. Mm-hmm. We are going to see more humidity start to sneak in too. So muggy as soon as Friday. That holds through the whole weekend and even into next week. So we're looking at climbing to the upper 70s, near 80 degrees by Friday for a majority of the state. Low 80s on Saturday. However, there is rain rolling in. So in the morning, you could see some rain early Saturday morning. It'll clear out and be a nice day in the afternoon. Sunday, we're going to the mid 80s across the state. So it's going to get warm and we're going to hang on to those low 80s too as we go into next week. Now, I was looking ahead because our fall colors are already starting to change up here in Wausau area, far up north. We're starting to see them, certain trees. And we are looking cooler next weekend. So I think with the sun this week, the cooler temperatures behind it, those colors are going to be popping right around the corner. We're also looking at some more warmth still later on, too. So while we may cool down into next weekend, I still see 80s for the end of the month. A roller coaster.
I'm about to ask a dumb question, and you can feel free to answer this as soon as possible, the quickest way possible, and make fun of me while doing it. Once that's all done, though, that mid 80s Sunday, do you see any other heat ear waves, more summer temperatures happening? Or do you think then, all right, we're moving into October. It's keep them sweaters out.
Right. So what I'm thinking and seeing right now is this is going to be our last extended 80s, right? We're going to feel them from Friday all the way through almost Wednesday or Thursday next week. So a whole week of 80s sticking with us, that's not going to happen again, I don't believe. What I see at the end of the month is a day or two spiking to about upper 70s, low 80s, here and there kind of thing as the temperatures slowly trend cooler. Because by the time we end September, our average highs across the state should only be in the upper 60s. So 80s is woo.
Quoted here today on Matt and Aaron Air, Brittany Merlot with the unfall like heat. Woo. All right.
Woo.
Get your Ric Flair out because we're going woo today. Brittany Merlot, as always, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time, your expertise, and all the great things you do for all of us here at Civic Media.
Thanks, Greg.
That was just a piece of what we talked about with Brittany Merlot. And don't worry, I'm going to be playing the rest of that interview for you because she talks about a new tool from NOAA and the National Weather Service on flood inundation and how to keep alert on that. So keep it locked here on these local reports. And earlier I mentioned Brittany Merlot is an award-winning meteorologist and writer. If you want to see the things she's working on, the stories she has put out there in the world, go to civicmedia.us/news. There you can catch up on everything she's working on, including weather reports, tips on what to do in the case of inclement weather, and she does a great job at breaking down how climate change directly affects all of the new weather patterns here in Wisconsin, so we are prepared for it. Again, go to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow welcomes Chad Holmes to give his update from Wausau. And at 8:35, Pat talks to political consultant Joe Zepecki. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Vigils across the country for a conservative influencer assassinated at an event at Utah Valley University. This man remembered outside the Orem Hospital where Charlie Kirk was taken after he was shot in the neck.
I think he represented it the best of what's in our country in regards to freedom of speech, being able to speak and say, speak your mind, those types of things.
Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells CBS Mornings.
His rule of thumb was, if you disagree with me, you get to come to the front of the line. It's what we crave, that you can have debate on a campus.
The search for the shooter continues. Correspondent Carter Evans is near the scene of the crime.
Law enforcement sources tell CBS News they believe the shot was fired from the nearby Losey Center rooftop, and they're searching for an individual in dark clothing.
The FBI's field office has set up an online form for the public to submit tips. CBS News special.